So they come in, they immediately take over and arrest all of Tactical's guys. Frank is currently trying to figure out how to get them out. These guys have tens of millions of dollars in hostage insurance, and these insurance companies, they don't want to pay $10 million for some CEO that gets kidnapped somewhere in Africa. And he's being told that this is a CIA plot, and they've got credentials that say Secret Service. Like, it doesn't look good. Hey, this is Matt Cox, and we're going to be talking about the Frank Amadeo story, It's Insanity, which is based on the book that I wrote, It's Insanity. And at this point, Frank's got a good chunk of money set aside. I mean, I think he's probably close to $180 million of money that he has kind of set aside for money that was supposed to have been sent to the IRS for payroll withholding taxes. So he's got $180 million. And according to Frank, now I've heard other people say different things, but according to Frank, his company was approached, which is basically Tactical, the military company that Frank had founded. Tactical was approached by Dr. Oscar Kashala's campaign director, I think it was campaign director. So they approached Tactical, and part of why they were approached was that the director wanted Tactical to provide private security for Dr. Kashala. Now, Dr. Kashala was a Congolese born citizen, right? So he was born in the Congo, which is the Democratic Republic of the Congo. It's what I'm talking about. It's a country in Africa, if you don't know. The DRC, or Congo, whatever, the DRC, Democratic Republic of the Congo, they were about a year away from holding their elections. And the current president, who was, I forget his name, I'll mention it, I'll look it up in a second. He was president. He had been president for several terms. He had taken over the presidency from his father, which I'm pretty sure he murdered. Like, that's Congolese politics. We're really African politics. Like, this guy had, like, killed his father and taken over, something along those lines. And then the Congo had become a democracy, and he kept winning the elections. So this was the first time that the Congo was about to happen. This was in 2006. The Congo was about to have a real democratic election. NATO had come in and was kind of helping conduct these elections. And Dr. Kashala, who had been born in the Congo, but had moved to the United States and was a Harvard-educated doctor. So this is a Western-educated person who has the right to run for president in the Congo. So, like, this is the guy that the U.S. wants to become president of the Congo. Maybe. Anyway, and sometimes they just want a dictator, a guy that's just brutal, that will back up anything the U.S. wants. What happens is campaign director comes to Tactical. They come to Frank. This is Frank's kind of version. I've heard that actually Frank had also kind of could have reached out to Dr. Kashala, but since I wasn't able to talk to Dr. Kashala, I don't know. Regardless, they came in, they sat down, they had a meeting, and Frank said, listen, we'll not only provide security, we'll back your campaign, and we will run your campaign for you. All I'm asking you to do is base the new economy in the Congo off of Capital Genesis. Now, Frank had a plan where he was going to go in and he was going to So there's the Bank of, I want to say it's the Bank of Africa. There's like the Bank of Africa, which is in many of the countries in Africa, which is actually owned by, I believe, the Belgians. And it's actually owned by like a family in the in Belgium. And honestly, it's completely unstable. So what Frank was going to do, his plan, and how far he got with his plan, I don't know. He had some meetings. I'm not sure. But his plan was to come in and try and take over the Bank of Africa. The way he wanted to do that was, it was there was multiple layers to it. But well, let me explain first. What is Frank's interest in the Congo? Like, why would you want to go into what is essentially a poor country in Africa? Okay, here's the problem. The thing about the Congo is that it's actually a poor country, but not because they don't have natural resources. It's actually got the highest concentration of natural resources in the world, actually, of cobalt, uranium, titanium, magnesium, gold, silver. You get the picture. And they've got, it's like $4 trillion worth of these minerals that are located in the Congo. The problem is that the political situation, because of multiple tribes fighting the Congolese government and these constant upheavals or rebellions that they have, no country wants to come in and dump a ton of money into the area to build the infrastructure to go in and get to these minerals. It's just too unstable. Well, what Frank figured out was this, and here's a problem in Africa in general. You only have really two classes. You have the ultra rich and the ultra poor. And that's a problem. So what Frank figured out was, listen, here's what we can do. We could go into the Congo, and here's why they don't have a middle class. They don't have a middle class because it's difficult to have ownership of land, right? Like to build houses and own a house and keep that house and get a mortgage, because there's a large Muslim population in the Middle East and in Africa in general. And so the Bank of Africa, even if they wanted to lend mortgages, they can't securitize land and pay interest under Shiite law. So what Frank figured out a way where he could go in, build the houses, and have you live in the houses and make payments on the houses with no interest, but by charging additional money for the labor, wood, the land across the board, you could basically, in a real way, mortgage those houses without interest, but with the payments built in. Now, if the people did not do, because of Shiite law, if people didn't make the payments, you can't kick them out. You know, you can't foreclose and take their property. But what you can do is you can recoup the property upon their death. So what's the worst that happens? You simply have to wait. You have an appreciating item, piece of security that you have to wait for someone to be deceased. But the idea of that being an issue really wasn't a concern because of the amount of money you could charge. The other thing is by going in and getting this $4 trillion. And the amount of money that these people would be paid, and the middle class that it would create, because they could now have home ownership, the wealth it would create within that country, Frank and his analysts had determined would create a very large middle class society within a decade or so. But it would require a ton of capital investment. So the first thing to do to get that investment from the Middle East, by the way, which is where he was going to get that money. He's going to get that money from the Middle East. The way he thought about doing that was, the first thing he has to do is go in, get Kashala elected. Secondly, he has to build a large private military that is loyal to Kashala. Right now, there are generals inside of the Congo, and each general has its own army that's loyal to the general. So it's unlike the United States, where if the president tells a general, I'm going to need you to move your forces here or there or there, they say, yes, sir. It's there. They serve the president at his behest. Well, that's not exactly how it works in the Congo. It's a discussion. Really, we need you to do this. And if the guy doesn't want to do it, he just doesn't do it. So it's a problem, because you also have a police force that doesn't necessarily do what the president says. It's all done on political threats and political negotiations, and it's extremely corrupt. So if you get Kashala, who's an outsider, elected, and you bring in your own private military, then you could probably clean that country up enough to get investors to come in and invest to get this $4 trillion worth of natural resources, that a ton of which would go back into the country. Now, they're going to lose some of it, obviously, but it would at least stabilize it and create a middle class. You could have roads. You could have electricity. You could have clean water. You could have sewers, septic. You know, you could have all the things that they don't have right now in abundance. So Frank had this whole plan. First thing is get Dr. Kashala elected. So he gets Kevin Billings and Joe Robinson. Joe Robinson, by the way, has run several mayoral campaigns in Orlando. He also was, I believe he was the head of the SWAT department for the Orlando Police Department. And so he's got a lot of experience in running campaigns and in military. And that's, you really have to have, to run a campaign in Africa, you got to have some military experience and you have to have political experience. It ain't the U.S. So they go in there, they go in with Kashala, and the first thing that they do is they start putting up billboards everywhere. They enter him into the presidency, they put in billboards, and the first poll that comes out of, I want to say, 50 or 100 people running initially, he ends up being, I think, 33rd, 32nd, 34th, something like that. I forget what Frank. It was in the low 30s. So they start really pumping the IRS's funds into this campaign. And TV ads, radio ads, billboards, people passing out flyers. Like they're putting money into this that African campaigns don't typically see. And very, very quickly, Kashala starts dropping. He goes from 30, 33, to 25, to 20, to 15, to 10. I mean, the polls are, he's really gaining. It's interesting, because when Billings and Robinson go in there, they set up several different camps. So they've got the DRC. It was like the DRC Hyatt or Hilton. And they take like the first couple floors of that building, and they're running their campaign out of that. And they've got a couple dozen security forces living there protecting Dr. Kashala. Because you have to understand, the rallies are getting bigger and bigger. Out of the 50 to 100 candidates, they're falling out left and right. Like, they're dropping out left and right. They realize they don't have a prayer. It's consolidated down to roughly 10 at this point after 4 to 6 months. And Kashala, by the time they have this one rally, I remember it was like, 40,000 potential voters in like a soccer stadium. It's massive. I mean, just this massive rally. And Kashala at that point in the polls was third. So he was third. The current president was number one. And the guy in second position was actually a general. And that kind of lets you know how things are run. In the DRC, they'll blow each other up. They'll kill each other. They'll put car bombs. Political rivals get murdered all the time. So think about this. Let's take one of our former generals, General Schwarzkopf. General Schwarzkopf, while acting as a general, could have never run for president. But the guy in the second position in the Congo at that time, in second place, he was a general. He had his own military. He had his own standing army. And he's running for presidency. And that's his current job as general. So you can imagine how tense the situation is. Anyway, I always remember Billings was at this rally, and there's whatever it is, 30, 40,000 Congolese, and they're screaming and they're chanting. They're chanting for Kashala. I mean, they're just like it's just like Kashala, Kashala, Kashala. And he's given this speech, and it's just insane. While that's happening, you've got their whole operation being run from the Hilton. They have a secondary location that Billings has set up with about 30 some odd guys in a compound that is 4 or 5 miles outside of the city limits, which is, you know, loose to say the least. And he's got this group of guys there. So the president, which is in first place, his name was Joseph Kabbala. Now, the general I was talking about was Jean-Pierre Bemba. I'm just going to go with General Bemba. General Bemba is upset because he can see the writing on the wall, and he sees that Kashala has jumped from like number 33 all the way down to number 3. He's Harvard educated. He's extremely sharp, and he's making him look very bad. The general's fear is that this guy's going to win. So Bemba was concerned. Now, this is the way it played out. Was Bemba's concern was that he says that Billings and Robinson were putting together a military coup, and that they were secretly planning on stealing the country's wealth. Okay. And the reason for this is that Billings had gotten his hands on plans for Amadeo. He'd gotten his hands on these mineral rights plans that had been done. So there've been extensive mineral rights surveys done. And Billings, according to Frank, through the correct channels, had actually gotten his hands on these plans, but apparently you're not supposed to have them, and that foreigners shouldn't have them. They're for internal use. Regardless, Billings and Robinson get their hands on them, and they're flying them back to the United States. Bemba had someone inside the hotel that learned that they had these plans, these surveys. So Billings and Robinson get on the plane, and I believe they got on the plane with the plans. And they're on the plane's doors closing up, the plane starts to taxi, they're about to leave, they're very excited, and all of a sudden, the plane stops. They wheel the ramp back up, they see military vehicles stopping outside. Billings thinks, this ain't good. Robinson's like, something's not right. And next thing you know, they open the door, some military officers come on with a clipboard, and they call out both of their names, you know, You got Robinson, Billings. They walk up and they go, outside, someone wants to talk to you. So they both get up, they go downstairs, they go on the tarmac. They tell them, we need your passport. They take their passports, they search them. And I believe this is the point. You keep in mind, you're talking about a dozen guys with AK-47 that are soldiers. And they search Billings, and I believe they search him at that point, and they find they found it on him or they found it in his suitcases. Regardless, they come up with his Secret Service credentials. So to them, Secret Service, that's CIA. Like they don't know the difference. So they're saying, hey, you're CIA. He's saying, I'm not CIA. Like you've got these plans. You've got our these secret mineral rights and you're CIA. And he's saying, absolutely not. We got these legitimately. Regardless, they take the passports, they bring them downtown, they hold them for a few hours, and they say, we're releasing you, but we're not giving your passports. So they can't leave. They go back to the compound. Everybody is aware of what's going on. They've called back to Frank's team. Frank's team is currently making phone calls. They're trying to get them temporary passports so they can get on a plane and leave. They're very concerned. These are Bimba's soldiers. Bimba's soldiers just took your shit. So they're upset. I mean, they're concerned. They're trying to we got to get out of the country. They've got the surveys. They've got everything. They don't know what kind of charges they're going to trump up, but they left them. And so they're there with about 30 other guys, right? 30 of these, they're at the compound. Just like I said, 4 or 5 miles outside of the city. They have these guys that are mercenaries. These are South African mercenaries and Nigerian mercenaries that are making up their contingent of security forces. And keep in mind, they've got another couple dozen security guys at the hotel with Kashala. So they're there, no big deal. They're there. They're trying to get emergency passports issued to them so they can get out of the country. And they go to bed, and at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning after midnight, one of their private military guys, which are mercenaries, come to them and say, listen, there are soldiers jumping the fences. General Bimba's soldiers jump over the fences. They rush into the compound with armored personnel carriers and troop transports. They come in, they rush in, AK-47s drawn. They immediately take over and arrest all of Tactical's guys. Now, it's funny, Frank has always said that, you know, these guys weren't armed. You know, Billings says they were armed. You know, Billings says these are nothing. They weren't soldiers so much as they were armed security guards. And they didn't put up a fight. When you've got the soldiers rushing in, you've got 100 soldiers rushing in. You've got 30 guys. Half of them are asleep. They're not exactly going to put up a fight. So they all lay down. They yank Billings and Robinson out of bed, and they take all. They load. There's actually a kind of a skirmish that happens kind of in the courtyard. They start beating up one of the South Africans, I believe. And Billings steps in. They almost shoot Billings. It's a tense situation. Like I write about the whole thing in the book. They end up putting them all on in the transport truck, and they move them to an army base where Bimba is located. They lock them up in cells, and hours later they start dragging them out one at a time. According to Billings and Robinson, they were very, very harsh on the Africans. Now, these are Nigerians that are armed and are in their country that they're being told are working with the CIA to, you know, pull off a coup in the Democratic Republic of the Congo. So these soldiers are These guys are upset. And you have to understand, they're based on their limited understanding. Like, they don't know any better. They're being told by their general, this is a CIA plot to take over our country. These are armed people working for the CIA. They freak out. They're beating on these guys. They never really, now Billings and Robinson said they never really were that harsh on them. They were aggressive. They slammed, you know, slapped the desk. They screamed. They got in their face. They did all that, but they never really beat them. They said, but they definitely beat the other guys. And they're screaming the whole time, you work for the CIA, you work for this secret organization, it's a secret service. Like, can you imagine how that sounds to a guy in the Democratic Republic of the Congo who's probably can't even read or can barely read? Like, and he's being told that this is a CIA plot, and they've got credentials that say secret service. Like, it doesn't look good. It doesn't look good. So anyway, they're interrogating him for an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, throwing him back in the cell, interrogating him. I remember that they said they had like a bucket and they had a hole. So they could, their toilet was in this little room where they got 30 guys piled in these rooms, and they're all shitting in a hole in the corner. Guys are, you know, after a couple days, they're barely feeding them. They're giving them like old sardines, you know, scraps. They're puking. These guys are getting dysentery. They're shitting on themselves. They have diarrhea. It's the conditions are horrendous. Frank's team back in Orlando, he sets up what he called the Situation Room. He sets up the Situation Room. They're calling the Catholic Church. They're calling the UN. They're calling NATO. They're calling everybody. They're calling everybody to try and get these guys released. And they're also, while doing that, he's also having to explain that he simply was running a political campaign. That's all he was doing. Now, of course, you've got the Congolese saying, hey, and you have to think too, their media is issuing articles talking about how this was a military coup. So it also looks good for the general. I just thwarted a military coup. I just saved the Republic. So it's just a bad situation all around. And I think that's a great place for us to leave it, with Billings and Robinson in the being held in a cell with, there ended up being, there's a total of 32 of these guys all being held by Bemba. And they've been there for 4 or 5 days at this point. And I think that's a great place. Frank is currently trying to figure out how to get them out, which in Frank's mind, he's one trying to negotiate. He's trying to get the State Department to help. But after a week or so, it's not looking good. And Frank actually reaches out to like a private black ops company that is known for going in and rescuing hostages. Now, there are these companies, you know, you have this hostage type insurance. And a lot of times these guys have tens of millions of dollars in hostage insurance, and these insurance companies, they don't want to pay $10 million for some CEO that gets kidnapped somewhere, in Africa. What they'd rather do is pay $500,000 and have a bunch of guys go in and try and rescue them. And if they get killed, they get killed. Then they don't have to pay the insurance. So he reaches out to these guys. And I mean, these guys have helicopters. They've got, typically these places are run by former special forces in South Africa. But listen, we're going to get into all that in the next video. I really appreciate you guys watching. Ooh, I would love to get into it right now. I'm just time crunched. Ooh, it's good stuff. So I really appreciate it. Do me a favor. If you like the video, hit the subscribe button, hit the link so you get notified of videos just like this. Leave me a comment and please consider buying the book, It's Insanity. And also joining my Patreon. I really appreciate you guys watching. See ya.